Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
I've been spending a lot of time in LA.
What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of the post that you made on your page. But it's definitely radio in the, I guess, mid-2010s or so, for sure.
You're a music person. You did your time in L.A. That's L.A. music, though, right?
Absolutely, that's L.A. music. That's 100% West Coast.
And most of this shit is DJ Mustard. Nick Knack tapped in with that sound. Stargate played around with that sound a little bit. Who else was, like, everybody was trying to do that sound, but, you know, DJ Mustard, that was
DJ Mustard
his sound.
Had it on lock. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that was his thing, flat out. Like, if whoever else did it, they were copying him. But it was definitely his sound.
Was it annoying, though, when it was out? Yeah. Like, when that was annoying to you?
Hell yeah, I was tired of it. I mean, what? You know, I messed with DJ Mustard. And I think that he's dope. He definitely had a run. But, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where all of the songs are coming out and every single song that's on the radio sounds exactly the same. We can't really get away from that. Like, because right now everything sounds the same. Like, that's what a lot of people will do. Whatever is hot on the radio, everybody starts chasing that. And I guess that time period was no different, but was I over it? Absolutely. Same way I'm over everything sounding like Lil Baby right now. You know what I mean?
I probably was annoyed with it too, but when I look back and listen back and compare it to now, it was on lock. It was popping. It was happy music. It was upbeat. It wasn't depressing.
Yeah.
The shit we listen to now is, or the shit they play on the
fucking
radio now
depressing.
Is.
Fucking depressing. You hear me?
You can't dance. You ain't dancing to it.
I was just watching this meme. This guy, he was like, he said my stepdaddy got knocked. He said my real daddy got knocked out by my stepdaddy. This nigga said in a slap out fight, I'm fighting demons. I'm like, you know what? I'm just over it. I'm so over it. Everybody is fucking depressed and everybody wants to be more depressed than the next person. And I'm just like, why is it a competition for how depressed you are right now? I just don't get it. Everybody wants to be more anxious than the next person. Everybody's more introverted than the next person. Everybody has more anxiety than the next person. Like, y'all can really have that fight. I don't want no parts of it.
Right. It's like Depression Olympics. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, what is wrong with y'all? Y'all need a fucking happy pill. Go listen to some soca music or something. Get happy real quick.
Right.
Lord have mercy. I cannot. I'm over it.
Soca music. Now you're taking me to Trinidad and Tobago or the island somewhere.
Barbados, baby.
But for our listeners, if you are new here, follow ASAP wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate 5 stars, write a review. And yes, you heard it right. That is the Carla Carter. She has a Grammy. Shout out to Carla Carter and her Grammy. You know what's so funny about that? I've known you for over a decade, and I just found out last year when you were on ASAP last year that you had a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will, like, put that as a profile picture or something.
You know what? I had to be told to do that, actually. So my experience in LA was it probably honestly was no different from anybody else's experience, but very early on, I realized that people will use you for who they think you are, who you know, like
for the opportunity they think you have for them.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody is an opportunist. So I learned very early on to kind of zip it when it came to like who I knew, who I am, because I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. My thing is I've always been very low key in that way. I actually kind of pride myself on being low key in that way. I really don't. My mama loved me when I was growing up, so I'm not looking for nobody else's attention. You know what I mean? Like I have.
Oh,
really
shit. Great. Wait. Hold up. That was a bar because I said that the other day.
Like for real though, like it's serious. Like I'm not out here like searching for people's attention or their admiration or anything. Of course, I appreciate acknowledgement for anything that I do well, just like the next person. But you know, I don't really. I'm not leading with that when I'm talking to people. It's more I actually want to know that people are talking to me because of me. Like, do you mess with me? Do you like what I have to say? Are we in agreement in some kind of way? Or do we just fuck with each other just because we are who we are? You know what I mean? So for me, not leading with that has kept me away from a lot of bullshit. If I'm gonna be honest, I think so anyway. Like, but early on in LA, I met some people who kind of used me in a really abusive way. So it kind of scarred me a little bit. So I was kind of, I'm getting out of it a little bit, but I was kind of like a little scared to talk about what I do in some cases, you know what I mean? Especially, like I said, to lead with it. It's not the first thing I'm going to talk about.
But there are people who have accolades and the Grammys that you have, and they do lead with that. And that's how they get girls, guys, parties,
And you know what I mean? Some people handle it better than me. I don't deal with it very well. Like okay, say for you know Drew. Drew has been one of my partners, like one of my closest partners for a very long time. And Drew is very much so a people person. I think I'm a people person in a lot of different ways, just in a different way than Drew. And Drew, that kind of stuff don't really bother him. Like he could care less. We always say like, cause I was signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and I'm always like, he's the jam to my Lewis. Like, because if you look at Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, what's funny is everybody always recognizes Jam. When they see Jam, everybody know Jam because he's always on the camera. He's always the more outspoken one. And Uncle T is a little bit more low key and very quiet. And I'm not saying that nobody recognizes Uncle T, but it's more common for people to recognize Jam's face. We always say he's the Jam to my Lewis because I'm very much so low-key compared to him. I'm not afraid of it. I'll definitely speak when I need to speak, you know what I mean? But I'm a lot more low-key. And Drew handles that well. Like he likes it. You know what I mean? He's very much extroverted in that way. I wouldn't necessarily call myself an introvert because I have my extroverted ways, but I like my privacy. I like being to myself. That means a lot to me. So I don't really deal with it that well compared to some people.
So here's the beauty about what you're saying. You got so far, you accomplished so much, you got credits, you work, you stay working, you're turning down jobs, I'm sure. And you didn't have to leap with your accolades or your Grammys. And look, you know what I mean? And you've been in the game for how many years? You know what I mean?
I've been working in entertainment since 2008. And that's been my full-time job.
Right. Without, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis connection, without leading with, you know, I worked with Janet or, you know, Usher, you know, you didn't lead with that.
To be
right?
fair, no, I didn't lead with it, but to be fair, that has definitely helped a lot. having that that relationship has helped. It's definitely a lot for me to stand on when I need it. Trust me, I know when to use it. I just don't leave it.
I've known you over 10 years, and I just found out last year that you got a Grammy for one of my favorite songs on the Usher album. And so, I mean, that says a lot right there. You know what I mean? What's the process for that though? Do you submit for that? Do they submit? Do you wake up one day and figure out or find out that you're nominated for a Grammy? Like, how does that?
They do like contact. Like, I have an email and all that different stuff. Like, and then of course with NARIS, they're in contact with you. You automatically become a voting member at that point. So it's really just being a part of NARIS at that point. And NARIS kind of communicates everything to you if you won or if you've been nominated. Yeah, they just reach out to the people that are involved, really. And at that point, you communicate with NARIS to get all of your information and all of your, I guess, your accolades, your awards at that point.
You, like, when you found out, were you excited or were you like whatever about it?
I mean, who wouldn't be excited? That's literally, that is the number one award for a musician. So absolutely, like, the excitement was for sure there, like being a part of a project that went on to do that. I think in a lot of ways, working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, I wouldn't say I was desensitized to it, but I think working with them, I always kind of felt like that was going to happen one way or the other, like with all the different talent that would like come in and out of the studio. Because, and I will say, like, that's kind of the benefit of where I started, starting out with a Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, like producers that, and you know, they just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. By the time I got there, you know, they were already legendary. So people are like clawing to get to their studio, clawing to work with them. So that was kind of like a head start for me. Like being involved in a Grammy winning project was kind of like, I always knew from the time I went there that that was very likely just because of the caliber of artists that they had coming into the studio, you know?
Wow. That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Does that, once you get the Grammy, does the price go up? Like,
yesterday's price is not today's price. Yeah.
Or does that vary by project and artist?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it definitely does solidify a lot of things because you become more valuable. Yeah. Like once you have that stamp and the approval of your peers, like that's kind of like you can walk in. You really could walk in and lead with that, and that's impressive. You know what I mean? So like I said, I know when to use it. Like if I'm going out for certain things, and it's not always music. It's not always like, well, I won't say music related. It's not always industry related. Like I can go into something like I work with a lot of students. That's kind of been like my passion more so recently, just kind of helping other people become really great songwriters and walking into like different schools. And I was directing a program for Microsoft for a while, walking into say Microsoft and speaking with the director of the store at Century City, the CSM there, and leading with, hey, yeah, I'm a Grammy Award winning songwriter. That's impressive. You know what I mean? That opens a lot of doors. So in that way, did the price go up? Absolutely. The music industry has been in a really trashy state for the last couple of years anyway, so I wouldn't necessarily say it's gone up in that way, because everybody, I think, is kind of struggling in on that front because music is just not really in a great place. Right. But in other ways, absolutely. Like that has solidified a lot of opportunities that are music related that aren't necessarily industry related, if that makes sense.
There's been a lot of controversy about the all these award shows. I just don't want to single out the Grammys, and I don't want to, you know, mess with your relationship with the Grammy committee or whatever, is however you guys call it. But these award shows, the people who are taking home these awards, these Grammys, who don't necessarily deserve them, people are being nominated for these awards in these categories that, I mean, Taylor Swift is a prime example. She pop country vocal. You know what I mean? Like, is Taylor Swift pop or country? Like, you see where I'm going? So, like, does these award shows validate the Grammys in particular? Nicki Minaj has never been, have never won a Grammy and wasn't even nominated and had one of the biggest rap songs of the year. Mm-hmm. And wasn't even nominated, right? Mm-hmm. Never, Nicki Minaj been in the game for, you know, over 10 years. Just as long as you've been in the game, don't have a Grammy.
See, this is the thing, and this is where I say the Grammys are a little bit different from, say, like the AMAs or something like that, or the Billboard Awards. And I think this really needs to be taken into consideration when we're talking about these different award shows, like what they're about. One of the reasons that the Grammys are so prestigious is because you're not being voted on based on the charts, if that makes sense. Like, these are your peers that are voting based on the level of effort or the level of work or whether or not they feel like you put together a great project. That's why it's so prestigious, because your peers are actually saying, I like this. So essentially, if you didn't win the Grammy, it's because your peers didn't mess with it. They don't care that you were number one on the chart. Like, they, your peers might have felt like you didn't deserve to be number one. They might feel like that shit was trash. You know what I mean? It's a lot of musicians, and I'm pretty sure you've been around a lot, that will hear shit on the radio and be like, I have no fucking clue. I'm not going to argue with a hit, but that shit is trash. You know what I mean? Like, so, and it, that's just the reality. I'm not saying that Nick, whatever Nicki Minaj did was trash. I'm just like, I don't really listen to a whole bunch of her stuff, to be honest with you. Like, she does have records that I like. I can't say I'm like the biggest Nicki Minaj fan. I don't have a problem with her stuff, though. But I mean, her peers at that point were saying, no, I don't think that she had the best work. Now, if she got snubbed at the AMAs or if she got snubbed at the Billboards, that's a totally different thing. That would be a real snub, because if she had the biggest song in the world and she didn't get nominated for a Billboard award, you know what I mean? Then that is a real snub. You know what I mean? That's a right. real snub, because that's based on the charts. That's based on what people have been saying. The American Music Awards are people voting for that. You know what I mean? They're the people that were listening to the tracks, you know what I'm saying? Or the people that were appreciating the music. And like I said, if she got snubbed in that way, then yeah, that's an issue. But at the Grammys, no, that's not what the Grammys are about. The Grammys are your peers saying, I like this, I don't like this. And you deal with it, or it just is what it is. Your peers didn't fuck with it. Get over it.
It sounds like it's popularity politics.
I think in a lot of ways it is. And keep in mind, like, sometimes people have kind of like, I'm not saying this is the case with Nicki Minaj. I've seen politics in the way that people can be very difficult to work with. People have very bad reputations across the industry, and the people that they have worked with would die before they vote for them. You know what I mean? Right. So yes, it can be politics, and usually that's kind of, that's part of it, though, too. You know what I mean? If your peers don't like working with you, if they feel like you're a trash-ass person, why the fuck would they vote for you? You know what I mean? That's what the Grammys are about. You know what I mean? It's the peers voting for each other. And if they feel like, okay, yeah, you put together a project, but I really can't stand working with you, you have a trash-ass attitude, then yeah, they are probably not going
to
vote for you.
Your process to getting your Grammy was completely different from like Nicki Minaj's process.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a completely different.
You know what I mean? So I think it's like two different like arenas, even mm-hmm. on, it's two different arenas on the same stage, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do think that I don't want to say that it makes it. I'm trying to find the right words, right? And I'm trying to be polite. Okay, let me say this. Diana Ross, Snoop Dogg, they both don't have Grammys. And we know how impactful, especially Diana Ross was.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a Grammy at all. She doesn't have a Grammy with the Supremes, and she doesn't have a Grammy as a solo artist.
That's She's crazy. Literally
the blue, right? So it's like, does that validate your talent or lack thereof?
No, I mean, none of these award shows really do, you know?
Okay.
None of them do. Like, it's nice when you get them, and I understand why it means so much when a person gets them, but I don't think that that's end all be all. There are a lot of people that don't have Grammys. There's people that I would say like are doper than me, you know what I'm saying, that don't have Grammys. Like, there are people who have bigger records than me that are not a part of Grammy winning, you know, projects. I just happen to kind of get lucky in that way. So no, I don't think it is really, I don't think it's really a testament of anybody's talent. It's just, you know, it just kind of is what it is. But I will say, one of the things that's a little bit annoying to me about these award shows is you got a lot of crybabies these days. Back then, I think people, if they didn't get nominated or they didn't win, it wasn't like a big deal. It's just, okay, I didn't win. You know, I think people graciously kind of took the loss. Now it's kind of like, it is politics, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think a lot of people kind of walked away understanding that there are a lot of politics that are involved. A lot of people are like, you get people that are going to like these events, and NARIS holds a lot of like community style stuff. You know what I mean? They're going and they're out in the community and they're dealing with schools, and you know, that is a nonprofit kind of organization, you know what I mean? So there are some people who they understand the politics of it. So they're going to be involved in that type of stuff all year long. So when the Grammys come around, the governors and the voting members are going to support the people that have been helping them all year. They're going to support the people that have been there all year long. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like, that's a part of it too. But I will say, I think that people used to lose graciously, and now it's a little bit annoying because the people that don't win, they cry about it, and it's, oh, this, and oh, I should have been nominated, or oh, I should have won that, and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, you wouldn't have been crying and complaining if you won. If they won, then the Grammys would have got it right, and oh, this is a perfect system. You know what I mean? And I think that's the part that's like really crazy. You want to call the system flawed because you didn't win, but is it flawed when you did win? Like, let me know.
Right.
It's just a stupid argument to me. Like, you didn't win, just take the loss and keep it moving, you know?
Right. Did you watch the Soul Train Awards?
You know, I did not. I missed that one, I'm gonna be honest.
I caught clips though.
I
kind of caught clips and stuff around, same thing as you, but I know that Beyonce did a sweep. She won like all the awards, everything she was nominated for, she won at the Soul Train Awards. But she didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't show up. And I kind of take issue with that because if let that be the Grammys or a white institution, she would have been there front and center. Like, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about these artists being nominated for the smaller award shows like the AMAs or the Soul Train Awards and not showing up?
I'm not really sure what the politics are around that. And honestly, I can't really say, you know, what she had going on. She is a mother, you know what I mean, before anything else, you know what I mean? And that lady got 3 kids and a husband, so who knows what she had going on. But
if that was the Grammys though, she would have been there. Would you agree with that?
Maybe. That were there ever any Grammy shows that she didn't show up to? I feel like I saw her like in a couple years ago show up to some smaller events, you know what I mean? And she's trying to show support in that way. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember her making like, you know, an intentional effort to show up to stuff like that. And then you never know, like, you never really know, like, what's going on behind the scenes. Because sometimes people can be jackasses, like, for real. And you get to the point where they be so messed up, you don't want to work with them no more. And be like, and it'll make you look bad because you ain't show up. But you don't know what happened in that camp. You know what I'm saying? Somebody might have fucked up or somebody might have pissed them off. You just never know. So I don't know if I have an opinion on her not showing up. I do know that sometimes our people, as much as we want to work together, they can sometimes be very difficult to work with. You know what I mean? So it's and I'm not saying that other people can't, like, because they are too. You know what I mean? Right. On some level, like, people, like, anybody can be very difficult to work with, and you just don't really know what happened in that particular situation. So I don't really want to speculate. I'm sure she had her reasons.
But do you believe that if she do show up, if, like, the Drakes, if the Beyoncés, Travis Scott's, the Kaias, if they show up to...
Absolutely. I think it would be huge. I think it would be a big thing for a show like the Soul Train Awards. I think it would be great to see our community start coming together in that way. And I honestly, I don't know that that's not happening. You know what I mean? It's starting to seem like that is happening. You know, things are kind of moving more in that direction. And I think as stuff like that, as production value goes up on shows like that, I think you will start seeing, like, bigger names start showing up, because you still don't, like, maybe their budget wasn't enough to handle something from Beyonce. Who knows? I don't really know. You know what I mean? I don't really know how
the budget.
I mean, you don't really know how it works. Like, I don't know what goes into putting on an award show. I don't know what goes into getting people there. I have no clue. Right. I don't know if the Grammys, like, in some way, do they pay Beyonce to come out, or do they promise Beyonce certain things that the Soul Train Awards couldn't promise her? Who knows? You know what I mean? I've never put an award show together, so I don't know the politics in that way. But like I said, I'm sure she has her reasons, you know? And right, I can't right. really speculate on that.
The cool thing about the Soul Train Awards, kind of personal to you, Uncle Terry was there, and Jimmy, they were there with you saw the Morris Day performance?
Oh, they're there every year, just about.
Was dope, though. Mm-hmm. That was dope seeing Morris Day getting his flowers, because mm-hmm. we know what Morris Day mean to us. And, you know, you got a personal connection with that whole camp. But to see him finally get...
Were Uncle T and Jam a part of that performance? Because I didn't see them in that one.
They weren't a part of the performance, but they... were there. I think they, like, presented the award or...
Oh, okay.
But the camera kept panning to them because they were a part of the time, obviously.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, that we know what Morris Day and that whole movement, Minneapolis movement, meant to us and meant to Black music. And maybe pop music, right? Because Bruno Mars is Morris Day clone, if you...
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other conversation, though. But... Mm-hmm. It was dope to see him get his flowers. And I don't know if you remember, a few months ago, he was getting sued by the state for the use of the name of Morris Day. And that was a big thing on the internet. Yeah, the Prince of State, I guess they told him that he can't use the name anymore.
Oh, you know, I think I do. Hearing something about that, yeah.
So that it was dope, though, seeing him get his flowers or whatever. And he got his little wife was there. With her cute self.
Nice little wife.
Lorena.
Wife.
Shout out to Lorena. But anyway, we got these award shows.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, there's a big fuss, a big hoopla, a scandal about the nominations of these award shows. Because the awards kind of happen fourth and first quarter. That's like award season, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the Grammys down to... the Oscars, the Emmy, like, everything kind of happens around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we should stop allowing these awards, especially these white institutions that was created for white people, let them validate, like, our talent, or vie for the validation, like, cry, pray, like, beg for the validation of, like, the Grammys or the Oscars? because that's what it feels like every year. It feels like the Nicki Minaj is crying because she's not nominated.
You know, I think that's a personal thing, though. I don't think that is the fault of the award shows. You know what I mean? I think that it's about what it's about the importance that these artists place on it themselves. If they stop, like you, we've been hearing people for at least the last couple years that I know of, you know, say that, you know, these things are not end all be all. They could care less. Like Jay-Z never shows up for the freaking Grammys. You know what I'm saying? Like it's right. Rare that you'll get him to show up because to him, you know, it's about the importance that he places on it. And for him, it's not the most important thing. He could care less about Billboard giving him an award or saying that he has the number one song. It's about how he feels about what he's putting out and how his fans feels about what he's putting out. That's a personal thing. I don't think that it's the fault of these award shows, you know? I think it's the artists feeling the need to get that validation, and that's on them, you know?
How do you feel about the charts? You've been a part
the
of...
The charts have always been in some kind of way manipulated. Like, you can go back to, you know, before I was born and they talking about payola and the fact that you can go to a radio station, drop a bag, you know, and have them play the song over and over and over again, you know, means that the charts are manipulated. You know what I mean? Even if they didn't walk in the Billboard office and say, make this song number one, they walked into the radio station and said, play this until this song goes number one. So like the fact that you can walk in, like I said, and throw a bag and say, play it every hour on the hour. They're brainwashing people into thinking they like records that are trash. That's why, you know, like you ever listen to the radio and you hear a song that you absolutely hate, but one day you sitting around doing nothing and this song is playing on repeat in your head and you know you hate that song. But they didn't beat it into your head until you actually think you like it. You know what I mean? Like it's always been manipulated, you know? So, I mean, it's nice to chart. It's nice to see it there. Of course, like, again, that's just a form of validation to see yourself on the charts. But it's always been manipulated. It's never been anything different, you know?
Right, it is.
And if that's what you place value on, which a lot of people do, then yeah, that's what you gonna go for. You know what I mean? But I can tell you right now, like a lot of that is not very organic. Like you're probably not gonna get a number one organically on Billboard. You know what I'm saying? Like that's wow. Probably not the most organic, especially not Hot 100. Like, I don't think that's an organic position. I think people pay a lot of money to make that kind of stuff happen.
Now, I feel like artists, like, chase the chart. Like, Drake kind of was shady to Taylor Swift because she blocked him and 21 Savage of getting the number one because she was releasing all those remixes to Anti-Hero, which was keeping her at the top of the chart, which is cheating, right?
Can I tell you something? Okay, so I feel like Taylor Swift's her stuff, I honestly feel like her thing is way more organic than some of these other artists. And the reason I say that is because how you tell, you look at the shows, Sean. You look at who show up at these shows. Taylor Swift packs out stadiums.
She really
does. You know what I'm saying? She don't like she ain't at some place that's holding 3,000 people. You know, she's at stadiums.
She's breaking records with every tour.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She's packing out stadiums. That's a lot of freaking people. You know what I mean? So that alone tells you that what she's doing is organic. People will come out for Taylor Swift. So it doesn't surprise me that Taylor Swift is number one. I can see from her shows that she's number one.
But
how many of these artists that complain about not winning do you think can pack out a stadium? Be honest.
Three, maybe four people that could do a stadium. My maybe is Rihanna. Okay. My baby Rihanna. Rihanna
definitely pack out a stadium. She did. I don't know, on 777. She absolutely did. She was doing stadiums. She did seven stadiums and she packed them all out, baby. She packed them all out. Sold out shows.
You think she could do that with her legacy records? Because these new records is not hitting.
Those are soundtrack records. Those were soundtracks. She did that for a reason. And people expecting those to be like singles is really crazy to me. I think they fit the movie very well. Do I think that she...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She should have released them as singles. Like, I think she kind of had people... Her putting out the whole teaser, like, yeah, I got this dropping, you know, I think that was probably not the best idea because people were really waiting for a Rihanna record. I think it might have been better for her to just kind of surprise people. Hey, I did that on the Black Panther soundtrack and let her fans like kind of eat that up. I think the mistake was made by kind of putting the hype around it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But do I think kinda,
I was kind of salty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I heard it, I remember like the night it came out, I was with my friend and I was like, her fans gonna be mad at this. I feel like they're gonna have a lot to say about this. And sure enough, the next morning I woke up and people were pissed. But her Die Hard fans, they had the TikToks going and everything. They were still making up the dances. And this is what I'm saying. Like Rihanna, that's the Navy for real. Like she got a whole Navy behind her. Okay. Like they gonna support whatever she do. Like and that shows in her shows. You know, they come out for her. Like, I think Beyonce could pack out a stadium, of course.
You know, we know Beyonce could pack out a stadium.
Right. You know what I mean? It's very few artists out here that could really pack out a stadium.
Okay. Name three. Name three besides Rihanna.
Beyonce could pack out a stadium. I think that Drake could pack out a stadium. I think that Drake could pack out a stadium, especially if Drake is going out with like a Lil Wayne and a Nicki Minaj. I think that he could pack out a stadium.
That's cheating.
I think he could. I think he could. I'm gonna tell you
my three, and I'm gonna let Rihanna. Rihanna's my honorary mention. Taylor, Beyonce, and Bad Bunny.
Well, we saw Bad Bunny. We saw what Bad Bunny did. Like, I've seen those stadiums. I'm just like, that's ridiculous. But who else? Kanye packed out stadiums back to back.
Kanye West in 2022?
Well, now, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't say a lot that, well, you know what? I'm not even going to say that. Because, you know, controversy sells. And I think he understands that. And I think
people understands that.
Like, I think people would still come out. Yeah. I think the same people would come out. Did he lose some fans? Yeah, probably. But do I think he lost as many as these people are trying to make it seem? Nah. Nope. Because people are, they're fickle. All the people that's talking shit about him today, all he got to do is drop a hot single and everybody going to love him again.
I don't know how much time you got on this thing, but that's a whole other episode because I'm not fucking with Kanye. I stopped fucking with Kanye as Slavery Was a Choice.
Mm-hmm.
I never went back after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm.
Yeah, I think he is an acquired taste for a lot of people that love him for sure.
Back to the charts though.
You said like, back to the charts. We ain't even gonna touch that.
Yeah, because that's
Kanye West. video that came out today, I was just like, oh my God, like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? But yeah, no, back to the charts, you know.
Back to the charts, because Kanye, we can dive into Kanye, but I feel like that's gonna hijack this session. Mm-hmm. We could do another episode, but I feel like that really is gonna hijack the session because I got so many thoughts about that. Mm-hmm. But the charts, though, like how these artists are, Taylor Swift, you know, Drake, everybody, when they release these albums, they dominate the top 10, the top five, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that is fair. I don't think that is, I don't like the way that feels. I don't like the way that looks.
What's not fair about it?
I keep talking about Taylor, and I fuck with Taylor Swift. 1989 is probably, if not one of the best pop albums of all time, it's definitely in the top 10 of pop albums. 1989, shout out to Taylor Swift, Max Martin. But it's what's not fair about it is like, okay, so we know that if Taylor Swift, if Beyonce, if Drake, who else be doing charts like that? Bad Bunny drop an album, they go dominate the top 20. All those songs from the album, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, and then the next week, those same songs are, you know, at the bottom of the charts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the songs on an album should be eligible to chart on a top 100 if they're not released as official singles or packaged as singles, because it's just not, it doesn't feel organic. Like you said, it's not organic.
If people are listening, like, okay, like say iTunes is, that is like, that's, iTunes is a song by song type thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
If people are playing the heck out of those songs are going to chart. I don't think that there's anything unfair about it. This is what these artists work for. They work their butts off for people to enjoy their music. Like, they work their butts off to become who they are. And I think that if they put out a project and every song on that project is being played and people are really enjoying it and Apple is a song by song kind of thing, then yes, why not allow all the songs that everybody...
Let me tell you why not. Because I do not need to hear in 2022 that Harry Styles broke Michael Jackson's all-time chart Billboard chart record. That's not okay.
But that's not Billboard. Isn't that not usually an iTunes thing?
No, they say that's a Billboard thing. Oh no, they said that Harry Styles specifically broke a Michael Jackson record on Billboard.
Oh.
Harry Styles. That's not fair. That's not right. That's fake. Because look how the songs are charting. And look how the songs that when Michael was doing that Thriller shit and Bad and all that back in the day,
mm-hmm.
those songs were organically, people were buying those records. You know what I mean? And those records were staying on the charts in the top 10 for, you know, weeks at a time. They weren't popping out on the charts on a release week. Then the next week, they're out of the top 100. They lived on the charts for the whole duration of the year that they were released in. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not the same. You know, they said that Harry Styles he beats out, don't quote me on this, listeners, everybody Google, but they said that he beat Michael Jackson's record on the Billboard for whatever that was. I remember reading that headline, and because one of his songs, he had multiple songs chart longer than any song that Michael Jackson had simultaneously on Thriller.
This is the thing, though. And okay, we know that there's never going to be another Michael Jackson, but we can't expect that Michael Jackson's records are never going to be broken. You know what I mean? Like, It's just,
you can't break a record if you're not using the same metric system to get the record.
This is true. Now, how Michael did it is and again, this is why I say it's never going to be another Michael because of the things that we have available today. Also, like, nobody had to work as hard as people that were charting at that point and put in like that kind of effort. you know. So is it easier for the for Harry Styles to get that accolade? Yes. But I think as you know, the world turns and with evolution, yes, you're going to start seeing like the world is just different. You know what I mean? And the way that they're measuring certain things is just is different. Like records are made to be broken. It's not Michael Jackson's not going to hold that record forever. It's just that's the reality. I think it's unrealistic to think that he's going to hold it forever. He can hold it forever in our hearts. We know that forever in our hearts, that's the king of pop. You know, but we can't expect that these records are not going to be broken. At some point, Drake's record is going to be broken. At some point, you know, all of these artists that are breaking records today, you know, it, to be honest with you, every time I turn around, I feel like somebody is breaking a new record. You know, people love to break records. So everybody's out here trying to break a record, and it's not going to be any different 100 years from now. Like people are still going to, they're going to be working hard to one up the last person that did it. And society is only going to get more advanced. So people are going to continue to break these records. You know what I mean? That's just life, you know? That's just life. And even today, like the way that people are doing it now is harder than the way that people are going to be doing it 30 years from now, because society is going to be so much more advanced. You know what I mean? So people now are going to be looking at the people 30 years from now that are breaking their records saying, oh, I had it way harder than you. Like that is life. That's life. You know what I mean?
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I think that it definitely needs to be some type of separation or some type of label on a package saying, you know, the same metric systems that was used for this person to break this record are not the same system or metrics.
And maybe that's something that can be done, because we see, like, I was looking at they were talking about like housing prices or something like that, how they said that they were talking about the housing prices compared now to the housing prices then. And they were saying what this house would be worth, or what a house that you bought in the 1920s would be worth now, or what you paid for a house in the 1920s would be now in today's economy. So or even like what $1,000 today would have been in 1920s economy, you know what I mean? So maybe there are different ways that they can kind of figure out what those differences are to kind of set certain things apart. Will they do it? Will people care enough to do it? I don't know. You know, like maybe if people fought for it, yeah. It seems like the internet is where all this stuff happens, where all these people advocate for these types of things. So I feel like, you know, if that is something that is important to people, then yeah, advocate for it, get out and fight for it, get the right people on the job, get the, what do you call it? The statisticians or the mathematicians, you know what I mean? Involved and start making that a big deal, you know, if that is a big deal to you. Me personally, I don't know if I care. I'm gonna be honest with you, Sean. Like it is what it is. I am not the person, like, don't get me wrong. I love to be acknowledged for what I do. And I'm no different for anybody else with appreciating being validated, but I'm not the person that I'm not gonna say I need it.
You're not hung up on that because I mean, you're healthy. Your method is healthy.
I feel like I am like I'm like Jay-Z in this. Like it's listen, if you mess with it, you mess with it. If you don't, you don't. Like I'm not from the streets or nothing, but I'm like I'm a regular person. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I just like when people like genuinely and organically fuck with me. So you know, I fuck with the people that fuck with me and kind of ignore the people that don't, like, you know, and that's honestly, that's kind of, I like the streaming world for that. And I was talking to somebody else. I think in a lot of ways, the reason why There's a lot of gripes that I have with streaming, the streaming world. But in a lot of ways, one of the reasons I think it's dope is because everybody can kind of gravitate to what they really want. Everybody can kind of find their tribe. Like, I remember when I was younger, my mom used to, she would always be like, you know, Carla, if you decide you want to make bluegrass music, it's going to be an audience for it, you know? And I think that has become like a reality now in a very real way, because there are some people out here that I kid you not, I've never heard of them. And somebody will mention, they'll be like, yeah, they have like 14 million listeners on Spotify. And I'm like, I've never heard of these people. And you go and it's like, they got a billion views on or a billion streams on one song. And I'm just like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I've never heard of these. How have I never heard of these people? You know? And that is dope to me. You know what I mean? Because right. I feel like at this point, the internet and the way that this is working, you attract the people that mess with you and the people that don't, they don't. You know what I mean? Like, I think this whole idea of celebrity is dying anyway, because celebrity is such right. a joke. Like, all the people that consider themselves celebrities, I'm like, and what makes you a celebrity? Because you have a million followers on Instagram. What actually makes you a celebrity? Even the idea that people are actually walking around calling themselves celebrities. You know what I mean? I don't remember when I was a kid, I don't remember Michael Jackson calling himself a celebrity. Michael Jackson was just right. Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? Right, like, it's right. The whole idea of it is a joke now, you know? So I think they've cheapened the idea. It's not even a real thing anymore. So I think that's kind of dying off, if you ask me.
The definition of even- celebrity definitely has changed. And we've seen both sides. We've seen before the internet, and we're seeing now. We're living in an age where a follower count definitely does make you a celebrity.
Yeah, you get a 500,000 followers and you feel like, oh yeah, I'm a celebrity. Okay.
I made it.
All right. You're popular. Like, you're popular. And that's cool too. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you a celebrity in your mind, I'ma let you be a celebrity in your mind. Like, for real. Matter of fact, not in your mind. I'ma let you be exactly who you say you are. If you a celebrity, baby, you are a celebrity. But I feel like the idea of celebrity has been cheapened. It really has.
Oh, it definitely
it's like
has.
Once you get to the point, it's like say if everybody had a Bentley, Bentley wouldn't be exclusive. You know?
Right, right, right.
That's kind of like celebrity at this point. You got so many people that are calling themselves celebrity, and so many people in the world that based on if we're saying based on a number or based on popularity that is what it is, you know, it's so many celebrities out here. It's a whole bunch of celebrities I ain't ever even heard of. You know what I mean? But right, they celebrities, right. They got 3 million people that subscribe to them and actually care what they have to say, you know? So it's just the idea of it is it's cheapened. It's like the value of the dollar continues to go down because they keep printing dollars. Is that, to me, that's celebrity. Celebrity, the value of that is just getting cheaper and cheaper.
And, you know, followers or popularity, obviously, according to Sunny Digital, don't translate into sales, because
no.
He tweeted 13 million followers, hundreds of thousands of likes and pictures, but album sold less than 2,000 copies. That's crazy. The math ain't mathing. You saw he tweeted about Sweetie?
Yeah, I saw it. But let's just be real. Like, we know that they're buying followers. We know that they're buying streams at this point. We know that they're putting money into it to make it look bigger than it actually is. And that is actually how a lot of these people are creating fan bases. Because if I go out and I put some money into buying 5 million followers, and that's going to make it look like people actually give a fuck about me. And then people are going to start organically following me because they feel like they should be following me because I have 5 million subscribers. You know what I'm saying? So it's all a mind game at this point. And I honestly don't feel like Saweetie is any different. I do feel like she has her fan base, but I don't really feel like Saweetie's fan base was ever because of her music necessarily. I think Saweetie and who she is as
a personality.
Yeah, she's a personality more than she is an artist. And I honestly think that I think that for most of these people, and I'm gonna be honest, that started with like the Paris Hiltons of the world. You know what I'm saying? Like they're socialites. Most of these artists are socialites now. They're not really artists. They're not really musicians. They're all in the game for the hype. They're all in the game for the validation. They're all in the game for the celebrity. A lot of these people that's what they hear for. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that she don't love what she do, but to be honest with you, I like her more than I like most people. And I'm gonna tell you why. Cause I feel like her whole journey has been extremely transparent. She started off how she started off and she got into this whole rap game and she's putting it together. And I blame a lot of the executives that will go out and they feel like the formula is to grab a cute girl and give her a BBL and get a writer and have her go in the studio with this writer and pump out records. You know what I'm saying? I blame the executives. Right. I don't blame Saweetie. You know what I mean? I feel like she's taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to her. And if you really pay attention to who she is as a person, why wouldn't she? You know what I mean? Like she's a businesswoman, you know? So I like her though, because when it came out, I think it was year before last, something like that, she did a performance and her performance was just trash, you know? Her breath work was bad. Everything about the performance was trash, but she didn't come out and get mad that people were criticizing her performance. She came out and said, listen, I heard y'all. Feedback received. I'm gonna get better. And you saw this girl working to get better. And you see her improving on her talent. Now, is she that much better than she was when she started? Probably not. But I think her whole journey has been extremely transparent. And that's why I like her. I like her because she's real. I like her because she's authentic. You know what I mean? She doesn't have to be the best artist. But again, I don't think that anybody was ever subscribing to her for her music. I think people like her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That reminds me of Dua Lipa too. You remember Dua Lipa at the beginning wasn't hitting on the stage, and we've seen the progression, and she became like this massive superstar that had a presence. Kind of same thing with Saweetie. I didn't like the tweet though, because there's so many examples of men who released music that Sunny Digital could have couched this tweet with, and he picked Saweetie. That was my problem with it. Yeah, and you know, I'm like, okay, DaBaby just released a project that didn't do shit, have just as many followers. Key Glock released a project that didn't do numbers, have, you know, a million followers, but you are attacking Saweetie. So that kind of goes into what you're saying. People were fucking with Saweetie because of her personality and how she looked, not because of her music. You know what I mean?
I will say her timing was kind of trash, and that could have a lot to do with the fact that she didn't really do numbers. Her timing was trash.
And, did you even listen to the project?
I didn't. but... and again, like I said, I've never been a fan of her music necessarily, but I don't know if it was her. She definitely is the type of person, like if you subscribe to who she is, she's about the bag. She's about the marketing. She's going to go after, like, you know, what's going to work. But that timing though, in real life, I think that she should have thought that through. I think her team should have thought that through. And I think that they felt like they were going to capitalize off of something and it just did not translate well. It didn't go over well. And I think that I don't understand why they thought it would go over well. It's like, yo, this is not the time for this shit. This is not it. I saw a clip of Joe Budden saying the same thing, and she clapped back at Joe Budden, but I was like, nah, he right. This wasn't the time to do that shit.
Hitmaker said that too. Hitmaker did say that that's an A&R issue.
Absolutely, yeah. It was somebody that is these insensitive people who are only thinking about money. You know what I mean? They're only thinking about money. It's like, yo, this is not stop. No, stop playing. Like, everything ain't about money. Right now is not the time to be on that shit. Dead it, you know what I'm saying? And I do feel like that's part of why it probably didn't do that well, because a lot of people saw that as extremely insensitive, you know?
Right. I mean, she cool. She make cool songs or whatever, but I don't see her as a serious rapper. But she's fun, right?
I like that she wants people to see her as a serious rapper, and she's actually working on it. But do I see her as a serious rapper? No, not really. Seriously.
I'm over here laughing. Ivy or four?
Ivy.
I ain't gonna lie to you, though. I did roll my eyes when I heard that Tevin Campbell sample. But when I listened to the song, I was like, okay, this is fire. He could sing too. It's giving me like old school, but it's giving me new. And it's not giving me old school because of the sample, but it's giving me old school because of like the placement, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
It's like a drug to me. Who would it thought it be?
Did you work on this?
I did.
Yeah, this is dope. That whole little Afro Beats vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tell me more about Ivy.
So I met Ivy randomly at a restaurant one night, and I was sitting at a table just kind of waiting on my friends to come back from ordering the food or whatever. And he said something to me because he thought I was sitting by myself. Which is actually how he got my attention. And
oh, wow.
It was really honestly just a random meeting. But we got to talking, and he was telling me that he did music. And of course, you know, again, I don't lead with any of that. But he had no idea who I was. He had no idea that I was into music. But he's telling me that he's going on this tour. He's talking about this music that he's doing. And in my mind, Sean, I've heard so many people say that they're artists and talk about their music and how dope it is. And I listen to it and it's trash. So I honestly did not expect this to be any different. So when he told me he was an artist, I'm listening. It was no reason for me to say who I was. I'm just hearing him. So
right.
I was like, oh, well, yeah, just send me your record. And this is my way of just kind of like moving on. Like, okay, go ahead and send me your record. And you know, I listen to it and I'll let you know what I think about it, whatever.
Right.
And right before he left, I think I did kind of mention like, oh yeah, we kind of do the same thing. I'm a songwriter. So, but I didn't really go deep into, you know, who I had worked with or anything like that. I want to say, maybe 2 days later, I never went back and listened to it, but like 2 days later, he had went to my page and he had liked a bunch of pictures. And I felt like that was his way of trying to get my attention. Like, did you listen to the record? What'd you think? And so I was like, let me go listen to this dude's trash ass records, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be trash, because everybody that sends me stuff is trash. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. Because everybody's a musician at this point. You know what I mean? I hear a lot of trash music on a daily basis. So I went and I was like, okay, well, let me go to... Because he had DM'd me the link to that song that you were just playing. And I listened to it and I was like, okay. I was like, starting out all right. So I'm listening to the song. I'm like, this is actually good. So I go back. I think I listened to it maybe 2 or 3 times before I called him back and was like, oh, like,
oh, hold up, you got some fire here.
Yeah, I was like, this is actually really good. I'm listening to it. I'm dancing. I'm like, oh shit, like, this kid is actually really good. So I sent him a DM back and I wanted to know if he wrote the song. Cause I'm thinking, you know, at that point, it's a lot of people that have one good record, you know what I mean? But they ain't got a whole bunch of records. Like, this might be a fluke. So I sent him, and I wanted to know also, did he write it? I'm like, okay, because if he didn't write it, like, he's probably he's not the person I need to be talking to. I need to figure out who wrote the record. So I asked him, I was like, did you write this? And he sends a message back. He was like, yeah. So I was like, do you have more? And he was like, yeah. So we met up and he gets to play me these records or whatever. And I mean, he just hitting back to back to back. We sat for like, I want to say it was like an hour or two. And, wow. And he was just playing me record for record for record for record. And I don't think he played me anything that I felt like was like, yo, this is not good. So I'm like, okay, he's consistent and he's good. You know what I mean?
And you don't like shit, so.
Yeah, you know, I don't like anything. You hear me? So the fact that I was like on this kid, I was like, yo, I'm like, okay, we need to like come together. We need to do some stuff together. Like, let's figure this out. So that's how the relationship started. And, you know, I've kind of just been working with him and helping him to kind of move around and hopefully get, you know, into the world as he's a songwriter as well as an artist. So, you know, we'd be kind of pushing him in a couple different ways, sync licensing, writing for other artists, working on his own stuff. And that's kind of been like my project more recently, is just helping him kind of evolve and do what he needs to do as an artist. Because, you know, I think the next level of me and my career is kind of moving into helping other people. So he's an artist that I feel like is kind of worth my time in that way. And just, I wouldn't even say no, like, not like anybody else is not worth my time. I feel like I take a liking to the things that he creates. Like, he's actually on my playlist. You know what I mean? Like, right. These songs that he's created and put out, like, they have actually made it to my playlist because these are songs that I listen to. Like, that Body Language record, I think when I first heard that, I played the hell out of that daggone record. My friend was so tired of it. You hear me?
Yeah.
So tired of it.
I like it, too, because it hits instantly. Like, the KYN, is that Ken? I'm going to call it Ken, right? KYN? What do you call it?
It's KYN, and I think it stands for Know Your Name.
Okay, Know Your Name. Mm-hmm. So, like, you gotta sit and let that marinate a little bit, but mm-hmm. this Body Language hit as soon as you put it on. It's like, okay.
You know, Sean, listen, I told him that too, and that's actually when I present that to people, I'm always like, Body Language is a hit instantly, but KYN is a grower. I'm like, if you listen to KYN, you got to listen to KYN a few times, but you'll get it after you hear it like once or twice. Like, it's just, it becomes really catchy. And I think after you listen to that maybe 2 or 3 times, that actually might be a little bit more catchy than Body Language. But Body Language is a hit instantly, though. It really is.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, he got talent. I looked at his live videos, him performing and shit. His name is pretty dope too. I was like, is it 4 or IV? But then when I looked at his, and I'm like, 4 would actually work too, right? Because that's mm-hmm. Roman numeral 4, IV, right?
Yep. I thought it was 4 too. And a lot of people think it's 4. It gets mistaken for 4 a lot, actually.
You said that's on your playlist. I added that to my playlist as well. Mm-hmm. Listeners, make sure you add that Body Language and KYN IV to your playlist. I will have both titles of the song located in the description of this episode.
I just want respect for the glow.
can our listeners do ASAP, Carla?
You can add me on Instagram. I am Sunny, S-U-N-N-Y underscore in California. That's I-N-C-A-R-L-A-F-O-R-N-I-A. And also at Ivy. And his Instagram is yo that's underscore IV. That's Y-O-D-A-T-S underscore IV. And also Ivy League. So Ivy League is welcome to Ivy League on Instagram. And welcome to IvyLeague.com as well. And Ivy League is I-V-L-E-A-G-U-E.
And I'm going to have all that in the description of this episode. Yeah. Again, I'm Sean Allen, not Sean Allen, everywhere on social media. If you are new here, make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, write a review. See you guys on the next one.